With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to the Autocar Podcast. You join me, Matt Pryor, and I'm sitting alongside James Tisdale, and he's lost the power of speech at the minute because he's driving a BMW M1 for the very first time.
I am, and this is a very, very exciting moment. This is like proper bedroom wall poster stuff, isn't it? When I was a kid, this car was, it was up there.
Yeah, it's spectacular, isn't it? It's really spectacular. And it's... So on this pod today, we're going to be talking about some cars we have not, some M cars, BMW M cars, that we have not driven before, which is where this one comes in. And it's, the funny thing about this, mate, is it's not like any other M car, is it?
No, it's the car that started the whole M car thing, but literally, it feels like no other M car I've ever driven. Mm. I'd say apart from the engine, that 3.5 litre straight six, it's totally...
It sounds great though.
It does.
That induction noise is mega.
I mean, we've got to go easy on the old thing, so we're not winding it right out, but...
It's been, we've been advised it's not in raggable condition.
No,
it's not in bad condition, is it? But it's not. They don't want us to completely thrash the knackers off it, so we're not. Strange to be in a supercar with a straight six engine. I like straight six engines because they've got that perfect smoothness of primary and secondary moments of inertia, whatever they are. You know, but they're in perfect balance, and I really like. But somehow they've never been perceived as good enough for supercars.
It's strange, isn't it? It's almost like they want to just stick them together and make a V12, and oh, that's a proper supercar.
Yeah,
engine.
Now it's a supercar. Yeah, but I'm a massive fan of a straight six.
Well, this sounds like a supercar engine, and yes, by the standards today, it's not fast. I suspect you get skinned alive by a 2 litre TDI.
Oh, yeah,
hot
TDI.
Yeah. But what a great sounding thing, and it's just got torque everywhere.
Yeah. If you want to spin it around, mate, we can probably head back.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, this will be in North Allerton before we know. Yeah. What's the gear shift like?
It is very precise. It's a bit sticky, but I was expecting a wobbly old shift. You know, you expect old car, and there is stuff about this car that makes you think it's its age. So 1978 it was designed, and the driving position is woeful.
It's not great, is it? I'm sitting in as a passenger, and my feet are skewed across because of the wheel arch intrusion. And your feet are doing the same, aren't they?
Exactly.
In the footwell, which is unusual.
I mean, I struggle to think that surely people didn't understand ergonomics back in the day.
I mean, they were smaller, I suppose.
I suppose so, but did everyone want to sit facing like that while they were driving?
It is strange. But I don't know about this, because because to an extent, I'm prepared to forgive a little bit because I like compact cars.
Yes.
And therefore, if this feels smaller, and it does, to me, certainly from me, I'm sitting on effectively the wrong side because it's left-hand drive.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting facing the traffic, which is always a weird thing for a passenger to be doing. I think it always feels slightly unsettling.
Yeah.
But if I was in a wide left-hand drive, brand new supercar, I would be feeling much more nervous because there'd be much less space between me and the oncoming traffic.
I think that's totally spot on. I think if you were to jump into a modern supercar, never driven it before, this is the first time I've ever driven this car, modern supercar, left-hand drive, out you go onto the roads, it would feel a lot more intimidating.
Yeah, and we've just done a little turn in the road and the visibility was very good and I wasn't worried about the nose scuffing the ground or anything like that and ruining £3,000 worth of carbon fibre. You know, as a supercar, it's very obviously made by a normal car manufacturer.
Yeah.
Who bears in mind, you know, the... maybe they're all like that. No, maybe they weren't all like that. You know, Lamborghinis of that era were difficult, weren't they?
Yeah,
much
I think
more
so.
Difficult than this.
I've driven a Countach, and that's...
Yeah. Have you?
Yes, I have.
I have not.
Have you not?
No, I'd love to.
There's a future podcast.
Well, yeah, because that is my bedroom wall, probably my bedroom wall car, Countach, I reckon.
But that was a car, and that was a right-hand drive car on UK roads, and that felt... You had to be aware of where everything was.
Really, you know, in a way that you don't in this.
This, like I say, you've got thin pillars, big windscreen. I can listen to that engine all day long.
Now, the reason we are recording this is because we're doing a video about some M cars and we're kind of defining our perfect M. So we've got a bunch of them together. So in a minute, I'm going to jump into an M5 CS, which is a new one, sort of bookend the entire range. And I've never driven the M5 CS.
Okay.
People tell me it's amazing, but we'll find out in a minute. But the idea is we're doing this video and feature in the mag about our perfect M car. It's quite a lot in this, would make my perfect M, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the more I drive it, as I said earlier, you know, by modern supercar standards, by any performance car standards, it's quite slow.
Yeah. I don't mind that.
No. Well, I mean, I drove that car. We'll talk about it more later. The M5 CS. Yeah. I drove it to this event, and I felt it was just an exercise in self-restraint.
Really.
Whereas this, you feel like you can wind it out in second and third.
No, straight on. I think it.
Yeah,
straight on. Then.
You can wind this out in second and third, and not really feel like you're being a nuisance.
No, exactly. So that's, yes, you've just taken that through second into third.
Yeah.
We're still doing less than 60 miles an hour. And there is no way that you'd be able to do that in a modern supercar. You'd go through second and third and, oh, I'm doing 110 already.
Yeah. There's so much, I mean, it rides quite
that's
nicely.
Right. It does ride properly, doesn't it?
And the steering is, it's unassisted, so it's a bit heavy at low speed.
Yeah.
But get moving and it's just always just writhing away in your hands. And I'm sure if you were going for the extra, you know, a few tenths.
You could go straight on because this road goes to Croft.
Okay. You know, if you were driving to end it all, extra few tenths, I suspect it's probably demands quite a lot of concentration.
Oh, I see, yes, okay, yeah.
But just doing this, driving it briskly, I mean, you're going faster than most traffic.
Yeah.
And it just feels really nicely balanced. I know it's that cliche, you shouldn't meet your heroes, and it is a massive cliche, and I've just gone out and said it, so but I think you should in this case.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I'm going to
I was just going to say, you know, give this a podcast, should we talk a little bit about its history, should we talk about this car is, what this represents?
Well, we could, but I mean, we have to remember it.
Okay.
So,
well, should we name some interesting facts that we know about an M1?
Some interesting facts. So, all right, I'm going to tell you an interesting fact about the M1. I went to McLaren's heritage storage / where they keep their old cars.
Oh, yeah.
And in there, they've got some projects that they've been involved in.
Ah,
some models of projects they've been involved in. So they've got that 9... Porsche 930 turbo with a tag engine, malarkey, whatever it was.
Which is a very cool thing.
Which is a very cool thing. They've got all their old F1 cars, not all of them, but a lot of their old F1 cars. They've got some Lewis Hamilton racing carts.
Yeah.
And then they've got a land speed record model that they were vaguely involved in, which never happened. And they've got two models of a BMW M1. And I said, why do you have models of a BMW M1? And they weren't explicit, but they had some kind of involvement in this car.
Well, I thought, now this is where the internet could correct me, I thought the McLaren Project 4, Ron Dennis's outfit, didn't it run, if not one car,
in a pro car?
Yeah.
Yes, I think it did, yeah. I think it did. But I also wonder if they, I did wonder if it had some kind of other involvement in development. I mean, that may be completely horseshit.
Because Lamborghini had a hand in this, didn't
it? Yeah, very much so.
It was built in Italy.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and I can't believe that Lamborghini and McLaren had a hand in the building slash creation of them. It would be, that would be weird. But yeah, there are also a lot of models in there because Ron was a big fan of the colours, of seeing the colour scheme on a model for the sponsorship and the colours and things like that. He used to want to see them on a model before they put them on the car itself.
Right.
So it may be as simple as that, but the impression I got was there was a, God, that sounds good, there was a bit more to it than that. So go on, give me a factoid about an M1.
Well, I think I may have given my first factoid away, that it was made by...
Oh, it was made by Lamborghini.
Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I know that there are, I believe, 400 and... Is it 435 were made? Or was it 453?
Oh, I don't know that.
Just over 400.
Okay.
Because they were originally targeting Group 4 homologation, I believe. And it ended up in Group 5, and then...
Oh, really?
It also... Obviously, they did Pro Car. It was also a rally car.
Was it?
Yes.
Now,
so
that is what
Bernard
I did not
Bagwan,
know that.
Yeah. If that is how you pronounce his name. Bernard, if you're
it
out
is,
there and I pronounced your name wrong, I'm sorry. He rallied
it
in the French National Championship.
Now, that's cool.
That is very cool.
That is cool. Your M1 knowledge outdoes my M1 knowledge by quite a significant margin.
Well, I don't know about that. That McLaren thing. I'm
well, yeah, but I think it's
that.
Just nonsense. I think it's just. I think you're right. I think it's just probably Ron just had a colour scheme test on it. But the bloke was a bit vaguer about. Maybe he didn't know. But, yeah.
It's good knowledge anyway. It's good knowledge.
It's good knowledge.
Oh, and also, another fact maybe.
Yeah.
That may it's got the two BMW badges on the back, hasn't it? One on each end of the engine cover. And that allegedly is because they were worried people would mistake it for a Lamborghini or a Ferrari.
No, is
when
that
it
right?
was new, yeah. I believe
and
so.
And a small child walked past this morning. I'm not making this up, listener. A small child walked past this morning because we are based at Croft Circuit. We've based ourselves to do this. And he's with his family and one of them's doing a driving experience or something. He walked past and he looked at it and he went, oh, look at that Ferrari. Because, I mean, it is a red mid-engine supercar. You would think that, wouldn't you?
Which sort of proves that idea didn't work.
Yeah,
did it?
Yeah. No. Well, I suppose he was looking at it from the side,
so
he couldn't see the badge. Maybe they should put another badge on the side. Right, anyway, so that's enough of M as supercar. Let's go and have a go in an M I haven't driven, which is the M5 CS. Right, mate, so I'm now in the very latest, which I have not driven. Very latest and greatest. I've just accelerated from 30 to 60 miles an hour in about, three words. BMW M5 CS, that was 30, and that is 60. That is is absurdly rapid.
It's just, I hate to say it. I hate to say it, too fast.
Yeah.
Well, not, it's how fast you need to go.
Yeah, 30 miles an hour.
That's it. That's
that was up to 60.
That's your speed limit,
I just eased off at 58, that was thereabouts.
You could argue, take it to a track, but you want to take a two-ton...
But do you want to take a two-ton executive saloon, what car, luxury car of the year, whatever they call it?
Is it executive car of the year?
No, it might even be luxury car of the year. I can't remember what they call it. I mean, it's not a luxury car because luxury is very different. As even people at Bentley will mock and they go, no, actually, a 7 Series isn't a luxury car because they're not in a luxury sphere. They don't operate in luxury. weirdly luxury. Yeah, it's a bit, yeah, it's a bit catty, isn't it? But they're right, then, you know, they're like, look, you can't be luxury if you also sell a 2 Series. You can't, that's because you're not luxury.
Wow.
Luxury is luxury. Luxury is, yeah, is not for the masses. It doesn't sully itself with the same stalks that you would get on a 30 grand car. It's all top end.
You shouldn't be able to buy a Bentley value brand. I can't afford a whole Bentley, but
yeah, we'll do.
I've got a Bentley Fiesta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that wouldn't be
an Aston Martin Signet.
Well, is that luxury? No, it's probably not.
No,
is it?
Not.
No, of course it's not. It's a means to an end.
It's a CO2 Dodge.
Yeah, exactly.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Anyway. Oh, there's probably a pod. There's a pod in them.
Yeah.
What we've said.
27.7 mpg. I had it up to over 30 mpg on the way here.
Have I been let down?
No. This is just where I'm at in my life now.
Oh, I see. It's like, were you trying to get it over 30?
No, I was just... It's the M1, so it's Haydex 3 all the way up. So you just stick the cruise to 75 because... Otherwise, you're going to get pinged.
Yeah.
And again, it kind of calls into question, increasingly, not only do we have the space, we don't have the space to exercise these sorts of performance cars.
Yeah.
There's a surveillance culture that means you can't really anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, give me a 600 plus horsepower super saloon and I'll see how many mpg I can get out of it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. This is very good, isn't it?
It is.
It really steers nicely, it drives nicely, it is. I mean, if there is no better big sports saloon. But whether that excites me enough to be my favourite M car is a different question.
You'd have to, given that there's only 2 seats at the back, you'd need to be spending a lot of time carrying 2 adults in the back of your car to justify spending the extra on this over a M3, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
If what you want is a fast road saloon car.
Is it notably more comfortable than an M3, a current M3, do you think? More refined and quieter.
That is a good question. I think it might be. I think it is, and that's a good point, and that is true. But then, I mean, you can go down rabbit holes. As a wise man or woman once said to any argument, it's more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for refinement and the ride comfort, you'd go and buy a 540. Do they still do that? 545E or something like that?
Oh, probably, yeah. And I always thought, actually, of the even back as far as the V10 powered.
Yes.
E60 M5. I thought the 550i they did at that point, which had a V8 engine.
Yeah.
Was it a 5 litre or was it badged as a 550? Ooh, even if it was only 4.4 or 4.6 or 4.8 maybe.
I think it's 4.8.
Yeah,
folks. Something in my head says 4.8.
But that was a lovely, lovely car, and it outrode an M5, and it still drove very nicely, I think, and it had a proper range.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't 12 miles between fills, and it had a proper gearbox.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that they don't explode in quite the same fashion either. So,
wonderful.
All being told, I thought that was a great car, and I would have chosen one of those over an M5 of that generation.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there is a 5 Series I would choose over this.
Well, there isn't there one, though, isn't there a... I think there's an M something, isn't there?
An M550?
Yes.
Well, maybe that's nicer.
I believe there is. And like you say, would that not give the better blend of ride refinement comfort?
5 Series versus...
Yeah. It's a tricky one. I think they've engineered this exceptionally, and I think it's fully deserving of the praise that comes its way as a driver's car, given its size and weight.
Yeah.
But where does it... Does it? I think you're right. I don't think there's a lot we're going to take away from a perfect M car.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, you've got to drive an E92.
Yes, GTS.
M3 GTS.
Intriguing car, that one. Bright orange.
Yeah.
Big wings. Hardcore.
So, Joe, we swapped places again.
Yep.
And you are now driving an M3 GTS for the first time.
Yes.
Do you like it?
Well, I had some expectations about this car. I missed out on it first time round for various reasons. And it's a car that always seemed to intrigue me. I don't know about you, I always felt that it was a car that... It had a kind of... Either a dedicated following of people who absolutely loved it and totally got it, and those who got out of it thinking, I'm not sure why this exists, why have they done this? And I know there was the...
As divisive as an M...
Or
the
GTS.
GTS of the, recent... The generation before this one.
I don't think it was quite as divisive as that car, but I got the sense that some people absolutely loved it. Oh, yeah, that's a... What transport is that?
Is it a Hercules or is it like an A400 M, whatever they call it?
Do they still use Hercules? Are they still going?
I don't know. I sort of imagine they will until I die, but I don't know. Maybe they don't anymore. Maybe they swapped.
I hope so. Anyway, where were we? So yeah, it's a very odd car for me because it's a very motorsport influenced car.
Yeah.
And they play up the shtick. It's got the big wing, we've got the roll cage behind us, we've got big Recaro bucket seats.
Yeah, and
I'm sat in a 4-point harness.
Yeah.
You are not because you're sensible.
Yeah, because I've had a road car and that doesn't... I would always wear a 3-point reel in a road car.
Exactly. But it's a car that I don't think has any significant motorsport pedigree.
No, I'm presumably people have raced them.
Yeah.
Or they've taken this generation M3 and raced it and made them like this. Maybe you wouldn't necessarily race exactly this because it's too rare and valuable, which is...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think anyone would actually race one of these.
GTS, yeah.
I don't know how many they made of them. This one appears to be number 49.
This is 49.
But it's a surprising car because I was expecting it to be a real headbanger.
Yeah.
You look at the outside of it, obviously it's bright orange, it's got the big wing. You couldn't fit a size 0 cigarette paper between the wheel arch and the sidewall.
Yeah. Yeah, it does fit those out of the back, it does fit it does fill that completely.
Yeah.
It looks like it's absolutely hammered down to the road.
Exactly.
You know, like some kind of mid-90s Fiesta Max Power.
One that's been set up by someone who really understands suspension and how best to make a car handle a ride on the road.
Yeah.
And yet, as you say, when you get going, it's a bit knobbly, but get some energy through it, and it rides surprisingly well. I'm expecting to hear tyres rubbing on the inside of wheel arches on these roads, and we're not getting anything like that. And in fact, the faster you go, the more controlled it feels.
That is, you're right, and when you say that, that's when I think, and I start to imagine what it ought to be like if it were, and I'm thinking it ought to be like a racing car. It ought to have that loudness, that unsophisticated loudness of just, you know, of hearing gravel being pinged up against the body and that real rawness. But it doesn't actually have that at all, does it, really? It's a decent road car.
Yeah.
It's a very refined road car. Road car, that's overstating it, but it is a reasonably...
Yeah, I think if you wanted to use it every day, if you could ditch the wing,
Yeah.
And whether the roll cage makes any difference to the structural rigidity, I'm sure it does.
I'm sure it does, yeah.
I would keep the cage.
I'd keep the cage.
Well, yes, yeah.
Because I'd like that, but you know.
If you wanted rear seats,
you could
use it as an everyday road car. I mean, even the engine is, it goes some, but it's not a total jaw-dropping firecracker of a, listen to that noise, my eardrums are falling out.
Yeah.
But it sounds quite nice.
It does sound good, and it's not overtly V8-ish in a muscly car.
No.
Although this engine can sound a bit like that. I drove that Smit Vehicle Engineering Anitha, which is the Z4 that looks like a Z8 coupe, and they took the 4-litre engine rather than the 4.4, but they've made it like this engine. They've done enough mods to it to change it, so it is almost this engine. And that sounds properly muscle car at low revs, and then properly race car when you get up the top end. So it's a very versatile, flexible engine. I like it a great deal.
It sounds highly tuned, which I think is nice in a car like this. And another thing, having driven some older BMW M cars with automated gearboxes.
Yeah.
Now this is a DCT, I believe, is it not?
Yes, it is. Dual clutch.
And obviously it's a lot smoother than the old SMG gearbox.
Oh yeah.
And do you know what? Given the car's focus, I'm not sure I miss a manual in it.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair, actually. Yeah, I think that's probably... And if you were on circuit, you may well absolutely love having the paddles rather than the manual.
Yeah, because there's quite a lot going on. I mean, we're driving sensibly because we're having a nice chat.
Yeah.
But I imagine it can keep you on your toes, especially if it's less than ideal conditions.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is on Pilot's... bought 4S's, so it's not an extreme tyre, but even with little temperature in it, earlier when we were pulling out of a junction, the traction control light was going 10 to the dozen, and there wasn't a lot of throttle being used.
Yeah. So of the two M cars you have driven for the first time today, what do you think?
They're very, 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 very different, and it's a difficult. The M1 has a great sense of occasion, and that partly comes from its history and its place in the M pantheon. And I love the engine. I love the fact it's a physical driving experience. You have to be involved. This is obviously a much more modern thing, and it's the car that if someone said to me, you've got to drive quickly down that stretch of road, it's the one you'd want to take, because it's so much more controlled, faster. You know, the paddle shift gearbox helps. But it's strange. They feel so far, both of them, so far removed of what I have in my mind's eye as an M car.
Yeah.
They're two extreme bookends of the M spectrum.
Yeah, and it goes to show what a diverse thing M is, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to this M special podcast with me, Matt Pryor, and him, James Disner. The Autocar podcast is around a lot. We do business ones too. There are me and Cropley's Motoring Week, and so look out for those, or you're at your favourite podcast provider. We're also at autocar.co.uk every week. We're in all good news agents every Wednesday, and on digital subscription, and over on the YouTube too, because that is the modern media landscape. We're everywhere. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.